Father God, help me as I speak to be interesting, and help me to speak what you want me to say. Amen. I like the Bible. I don't think I've ever spent a third of a day reading it, but here's a bit that I was reading a little while ago. The scriptures tell us, no one is acceptable to God. Not one of them understands or even searches for God. They have all turned away and are worthless. There isn't one person who does right. Their words are like an open pit, and their tongues are good only for telling lies. Each word is as deadly as the fangs of a snake, and they say nothing but bitter curses. These people quickly become violent. Wherever they go, they leave ruin and destruction. They don't know how to live in peace. They don't even fear God. It's familiar to most of us, isn't it? Even when I read different words. This is from the CEV translation. And familiarity breeds contempt, is what they say. I find it so easy when I read things like that just to intellectually agree with it and move on. It doesn't actually really touch me or affect my life. But sometimes I really hear God speaking to me, and I need to make a real response. We see here in Nehemiah's time where the people have heard from God's word and their hearts have been broken by it. They realise that it's really about them, and they face up to what God's word tells them about our lives. So here's where we are. The wall's complete. The people have heard from God's word and been devastated when they realise that they've fallen short. But they paused to celebrate their relationship with God because it was time for the festival. And now, a couple of weeks later, they gather again because they're going to return to their response of grief, because now's the right time for them to grieve over their sinfulness and their failure to live by God's word. We see them engage in true repentance as they read again of the wonderful things that God's done for them throughout history. They recognise and confess their failings as they don't respond to him with trust and obedience, and they commit themselves to change and to follow and live in God's way. We can draw lots of parallels between their situation and ours. So tonight I'm going to have a look at three categories: the wonderful things that God's done, confession of failed response, and remembering God's character. And we'll do a them and us sort of comparison at each stage. So if we can put the first one up on the screen. We remember what God's done. They look back to the events that define them as God's people, the choice of Abraham and the rescue from Egypt, and they worship God for who he is and for what he's done for them. Now, our identity as God's people actually rests on the same ideas. We're God's chosen and rescued people. I've got a couple of verses up there that I'll read to you from Peter. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And Paul writes to the Colossians, "For Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So as God's chosen and rescued people, we fit into the same kind of category as they do. And as they read through their history, through what God's done for them, they reflect on ideas like what I read from Romans there, and they realise that they've fallen short in their response to what God's done. Here's a bit from the middle of the chapter. As they recognise and confess their failures, see how they describe the failure of their ancestors, which they've continued. They describe it as arrogance, disobedience, refusal to listen, rebellion, idolatry, blasphemy. It goes on. I find that my first thought when I read about their failure is, they were bad, they should have been better, they should have done this. But then when I think more deeply about it, and when I'm a bit more honest with myself, I know that I haven't got a higher place to stand. My life's the same. If I take a catalogue of my failures, which is what they're doing here, falling short is falling short. It doesn't matter how much or how often. It's like with the straws that we were doing with the kids. Yeah, falling short is falling short. So we need to think about how we're like them in our response to what God's done for us. And while I've never made a model of a cow, at least not out of gold, and I wouldn't have worshipped it anyway, if we think, as Paul does, of greed as idolatry, how often do I want more than I need? Or cling tightly to what's mine? Or just try to find my security in stuff rather than in God who provides everything. I wouldn't refuse to listen to God, would I? But what about those areas of my life that God reminds me of again and again? Things that sometimes I'm hesitant to bring up in a confession because I'm not sure I want to give them up. But God's word speaks to me about those too. And what about the way that we relate to each other? Love your neighbour as yourself? Sounds pretty easy. But I find it hard enough just to care for my friends. And, even if I got as far as loving the people around me, Jesus pushes me further and he says, love your enemies. No matter what I look at in terms of God's standard, I fall short in every area. Sometimes I'm better than others, but I'm never all the way there. And so, as they see themselves in this situation, the people in Nehemiah's time, they commit to change. Their hearts are broken by this, and they write a binding agreement to change and to live God's way. They get lots of people to put seals and stuff on it because they're really serious about this. And we're reminded again and again in the Bible that our response, it needs to be the same as theirs. In Psalm 95, which is quoted in Hebrews 3, it says, today, if you hear his voice, I haven't got this on the screen. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And this is referring to the same rebellion in the wilderness that Nehemiah's people are remembering. And Hebrews continues, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So each of us needs to hear from God's word and turn our hearts towards him. We need to follow the example we've got from the people in Nehemiah's school, 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 in
Near my school, 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 near